But we often leave time for the things we enjoy. Some of those might just be providing for the family. You know what? We enjoy family life and we give our time and money for that. And that's a good thing, but there's a lot of things in this world that want to occupy our time. But as we were singing those songs, there were many commitments we made and how patterns that God, Jesus, left for us to follow. Were we paying attention to the words we were singing as we were singing those songs? Occupy simply means to engage the attention and energies of what we do. What do I do with my time? Who is benefiting from with what I'm doing? And then we all know what Jesus came. He says, his kingdom is not of this world. So what kingdom is benefiting from my interests? This is all seen by the world around us. We can see, drive up and down the roads. We can easily see what has people's interests. And we all have interests that are neither right nor wrong, you might say. I live right there in Carlisle, and there's a thing there in the heart of Carlisle that always catches my eye. It's a Carlisle Fairgrounds, and there's a lot of old things coming through there. And you know what? There's a lot of interest. A lot of time, a lot of energy is spent for things that are for show. I don't have any of my own. I enjoy seeing other people spend their money. But we got to guard our time and the things we enjoy carefully, because I can be preoccupied and there's little things on this front bench. That will know where Dad's interests are. So am I occupying my time wisely? So I believe this is a question that I think no matter what age we are, has a lot of energy to talk about. Just recently, there's an old retired farmer that comes into the mill there, and he enjoys his life has given him a few challenges. His wife, first wife, passed away not that long ago due to health issues, and then he got remarried, and then they separated, and he was sharing these things that how his life was unfolding in front of him, and he's a very sociable person, but he's filling his life with two things. It's his farm and the old things. The old cars, the things from his years ago that mean a lot to him. It's what brings him a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And those windows, those curtains can shake. Those winds can shake my curtains. And I don't know what shakes yours. We can give some attention to some of those things, but we can't let them steal our heart. And with what we spend our time with, I believe to the outside world, those that know us well really know what we enjoy. But as the outside world views our life, they can see what is important to us by the things what we have time for. The parable I like to look at is found in Luke 19. And there's a similar parable there in Matthew 25 on the talents. But Luke is the one that records this little phrase, "Occupy till I come." So, being this was only mentioned one time in Scripture, does that make it any less of value, or is it just equal important? Yeah, we know it's all equal important, because this is words of Jesus. My Bible has these words in red, so it's very important. He was telling this audience that he was going to leave here. He was walking into Jerusalem here. He was telling them, I'm going to leave for a long time. He said, I'm going to go to a far country. But he was going to come again. And we know he left, and he hasn't come back yet. We're still anticipating his second coming. So these words, I believe, are real for us today. Even though he mentioned them 1,000 years ago, we still believe, we're still living between the time he spoke this word and when he said, "Occupy till I come," because he is coming back. And that's going to be his second and final coming. So what will we occupy my time with? What have I used my time for this past week? Was I entertaining myself, enjoying the life that I live, doing the things I please? Or was I like Jesus, looking for and meeting the needs of others, caring for the things that God has entrusted to us? Something got my attention, and something had yours. What was it? I believe this command is for every church age, no matter where you're at on the globe. This is something that's very important. What are we occupying our time with? This passage here in Luke 19 is a very personal one. It talks about personal responsibility on what God gave them. I believe we'll read Luke 19, 11 through 27 at this time. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive to himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful over very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, "Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, "Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow." And he said unto him, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, when thou gavest not thou thy money into the bank, that it may be that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury." And he said unto them that stood by, "Take from him the pound, and give to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, "Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me." We most likely read this account many times throughout your life, and we know how each man dealt with these pounds. But what are we doing today with what God has given us? How are we using the talents God has given us? What are we doing with our time? This nobleman, I believe, was Jesus. So we can't, when he said, "The certain man, nobleman, went to a far country," that was our Lord, leaving, going to heaven. But he gave this group of servants something to do. And he says, "I'm going to be gone a while. We see that they were busy. There was a lot happening. There was those who were willing. There was those who were unwilling. We live in a world that has many willing people. People who are looking for opportunity to serve. People who are willing to extend themselves and go, you know, wherever they're called to. They have a burden for a work. There's many a congregation, many a person finds himself sitting in a church this morning, a service this morning. But I believe some of these individuals were good-hearted people in this passage as well. But they didn't use their time wisely. Is everyone in church this morning serving the kingdom of heaven? Because they spent 2 hours of their week sitting in the house of God, listening to his preaching and teaching, but their mind was preoccupied somewhere else. But God is very interested in how we are using our time away from his house. The other 6 days of the week are important, just as important. He's looking for workers in his field. He's wanting people to have a listening ear to the hurting neighbor. Who's going to minister to him when we're at church on Sunday? He'll be available during the week. We have many people who come into our businesses and neighbors across the fence row or tree line who want to hear how God is working in your life. He wants to see if he's alive. We have these opportunities. Sometimes when we think they're least, when we feel we're not able to. People observe our lives. When we're in those times of, might say, stress or discouragement or setbacks, our neighbors are watching us. And God wants to use us in those times to minister for him. It's a talent, opportunity to be able to share the talents we have with them in those times. Because I believe as we identify with him, with Christ in those times, we are exposing what is valuable to us. What are some hindrances that want to occupy our mind? Things that want to sidetrack us and steal our attention. We know there in Nehemiah, we're not going to take time to read that, in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 there, where the children of Israel were building the wall, there was an enemy outside the camp that wanted to use the fear tactic. They wanted to distract the people. But we have an enemy that wants to distract us as well. He's outside the camp. He wants to destroy anything that's good. Are we on guard? Those people there in Nehemiah's day, they held the tool in one hand and the sword in another, and they were willing to continue to work. They were ready to fight at any time. Is that how you and I are facing each day? Not letting fear become the motivator of our life. As we think of people who are fear. Fear is a motivator, but when we see someone who is courageous and willing to stand up, it influences others to stand up to action as well. Fear can be a huge consumer of the mind. With fear comes doubt. Then we wonder if God can work. Then with doubt comes unbelief. Hebrews 4, 6 through 11 refers back to the children of Israel. It says, because of their unbelief, they didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Again, their fear. They looked at the future. They seen the things around them. They seen the enemies. They seen the giants. They looked at their own they looked within themselves and thought, we can't do it. And God said, because of that, because of your unbelief, your fear of me and not trusting me, you can't enter in to that promised land. How am I trusting God? Can I simply believe him I really appreciated Cliff's prayer about, you know, that the promises that God has given us, that we just follow Him and accept His leading and walk with Him. God will lead us. The confidence that was. You see, the negative influence will always drag down and occupy the mind. Verse 14 talks about enemies. In that country, there was some citizens who hated him. And we don't have to go far around the community to find that there's people who hate authority around us. They talk negative about them. They talk them down. They find out who's better. And if we're not careful, we can get tangled into that mess of speaking evil, pulling down. And these thoughts drag us down. And these are the enemies that they were talking about in verse 14. Could it be that they were bold and arrogant, defiant? They were loud about it. They sent a message after him. So they were very loud. They weren't going about. They were going to do what they want. This group of people is very alive today. Just recently, someone I knew was at, there's a few people work. It was my daughter. She works at a local community place there. And this one girl came and she wasn't going to be no longer called. I can't get this all right. But I was thinking of the loudness and the boldness of people. She wanted to change the atmosphere of the working environment there. She don't want to be called them to say girls anymore. They would like to be related to as they and them. And this whole gender thing, very loud. They're boldly speaking out. What are we going to do? How are we going to allow that influence to affect us? This group of people is becoming louder. Is our influence faint? Can it be heard? Or are we proclaiming a message as well? These weak hearts, in verse 20, maybe this weak-hearted servant might have been influenced by this group of people who were loud and bold. And he was fearful, and he went undercover. He didn't know how to respond. He was intimidated by him. I believe that's what affected this man. He's seen the error of their way, but he was not able to stand up on his own. He was sluggish and failed to be productive for fear of his own life. By doing this, he lost his reward. Psalms 24, 30 to 34 tells us about a lazy man, the vineyard. It doesn't tell us why he lost heart or his lack of being ambitious and getting up and getting things done. Was the man in verse 20 just lazy? Or did he lose heart? We're not given the story, but we know he lost his reward. We inherited things. God has given us many things. Same with this man in the vineyard. He may have inherited the vineyard. He never had to work. His dad was wealthy. He possibly had servants that were taking care of things. And was reaping the benefits of it with little effort. But what happened? He apparently was going off appearance and was becoming slothful. We heard many things in the last 2 years. What affected the economy? What affected prices increase? Workers are hard to find. And that list goes on and on. But how am I relating? How am I responding to the things God has given me? There's a lot of things out of my control, but how am I relating to those things that are in my control? Am I using them for the kingdom of God? I think of this poor, the response of the poor man there in verse 20, how the defeat. So why try? He failed to do the little he had opportunity to do. But so often, I can say, maybe someone else can do that. Would that be a little bit like this keeper? Let someone else do it. They can do it better than I can. Someone else has more money. They can serve there. Someone has more time. They can do it. They have better benefits than I have. But it's all a self-focused. That's a self-focused look, which we have to be very careful in our day and age. Have I ever left the enemy occupy my mind? That's how he takes root in so many areas, in our quiet times, when we're thinking, when no one else is observing the things we're doing, and we're in our own little world, you might say. That's when the enemy comes in and plants seeds to snuff this very spirit out, being up and doing, being occupied. He wants us to be distracted with the things the world has to offer. He wants us to be busy. He don't want us to have time to do the good we think we should. He wants me to have doubt. It worked in the garden. Yea, hath God said. That attitude is still very alive today. But each of us here this morning are one of the servants in Luke 19. Either we are working with the little we have, or we are devastated and giving up, and will reap the terrible end. God help us to be occupying, taking interest in His kingdom. And these are a few things that need to be occupying our mind this week. Maybe last week had some areas to improve in. But this coming week we have another opportunity. If we want to be a blessing in this life, which I believe the first few men were there, they were a blessing in this life, and they also reaped blessings in eternity. First and foremost, in Matthew 6, I believe we have to put God first, which we all know that from little on up. But put God first and be real about it. People and our neighbors know if we put God first. Our children know if we put God first. They know if we have a real relationship with Him. They know if we have a song on our lips and are praising His name and seeking His guidance. Our neighbors will know that. So how can we invest in God's kingdom today or this week? To take it personal. Be real with God. Secondly, follow the book, Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 9. Their great leader Moses was dead. Joshua was feeling inadequate to lead the people. Could they go on was a question he had. And God said, yes, just follow the instructions. I'll see you through. I'll help you. And that's for us today as well. God will see us through. He will help us each step of the way. He will not leave us or forsake us. And we need to seek the goal in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know Paul had many things in his life that he didn't like, but he says, I forgot those things. Today is a new day. I'm setting forth. I have a new goal. I'm going to press on. There's many of us who have things in our past that we don't like. There's mistakes. There's where you're human as I am. But let's not let those get in our way. If we took care of them, we can press on, claim those promises, keep a focus. Same with an athletic. You know what? We are so familiar with the scripture where it's about the baggage. There's things that want to drag us down. We live close to King's Gap. It's a little 4-mile hike up the mountain. It's a blacktop road, and there's a lot of bikers going on them roads. And those bikes can do stuff my bike don't do. They're committed to making it to the top as fast as they can. They don't have a bike carrier on the back. Their goal is on time, to get there as fast as they can. So they're not dragging themselves down. Is that how I'm in my Christian life? Am I looking for things, or not looking? Do I have things that are dragging me down, that are distracting me? We've got to be like these athletes, just to press the goal as hard as we can and not give up. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them of the household of faith. Again, not giving up. I believe these are the things we do to occupy. And then do all for Christ. Philippians 1, verse 20.